thank you so very much that you have made all the different animals and insects and bugs and so on in this entire world, and you have named them good. Thank you, Lord, for making all the different people in our world, big ones, tall ones, short ones, people with stripes, people with different colored fur or skin. We just thank you so very much that all of these people are your children, God's children. Amen. Wasn't that a great story? Except that it was this long. I would love to hear that story again. Right? It's so cool because indirectly that story relates exactly to why I'm here today. Now, the title of the sermon is A Shift in Paradigms. I was talking one time a couple years ago, and I introduced the term paradigms, and I said, does anybody know what a paradigm is? And from the back row, or in this case, probably from the second to the back row, somebody said, well, paradigms, yeah, that's 20 cents. I said, what? Two dimes, that's 20 cents. I said, well, you're right. That was a good one for a change. All right. But a paradigm is how we process the knowledge. It's our thought process, how we get information, whether we read it in a book or how we're brought up, how we're trained, right? And if you look at things, right, if you want to change over here, sometimes you have to change your thought process, change your paradigms, how you think about stuff. Let me give you an example. When I was a kid, right, I grew up in northern Wisconsin, Minnesota, lots of snow in the wintertime, right? I remember my mother would say when we were little kids to my brother and myself, you go out, boys, go outside now and shovel that sidewalk and work on that driveway. Okay. Little did I realize, now looking back at that, I think it was a way for her to say, shut off the TV and get outside and play. But needless to say, that's what we did. We shoveled snow off the sidewalk. That's the only world I knew, the only way I knew how to remove snow was get out and shovel. Well, as I got a little bit older and a little bit wiser, I said, boy, that's a long driveway. We moved up here to Hermantown. We have a long driveway. I can still shovel it, but it's going to take a long time. So I had to change my thought process. If I wanted to spend less time removing snow from our driveway, I'll go get a snow thrower. Or better yet, I'll just ask a neighbor with a pickup truck and a snowplow blade, and he just takes care of that in this short amount of time. So for me to remove snow, I was changing my paradigms, changing my way of removing snow. So that's what we're talking about. So isn't this a great story? This is important for all of us because it's one of the very first stories in the church history that talks about a devout Jewish person bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a Gentile, to somebody who was non-Jewish. Now, in this story, there are three characters. One, of course, is God. God always has been, is now, and always will be. So God doesn't change. God didn't have to shift his paradigms because he loves us all. The other character we see is Cornelius, who is a Jew, and I'm sorry, Cornelius, who is a Gentile, and Peter, who is a Jew. All right? If you were a devout Jew like Peter 2,000 some years ago, you know what? You did not interact with Gentiles or heathens or whoever it was. It was the Jewish faith, the Jewish culture. You didn't work outside of that culture, working with fellow Jews. Why? Because they were unclean. They were unclean. We know, right, if you were here last Sunday, the very last line of the reading, Jesus was talking to his disciples saying, go into all the nations, preach the gospel, go into all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, how does that work if you're a Jewish person and you don't even want to talk to these unclean people over there? How are you going to spread that gospel to all the nations of the world? Well, first of all, let's talk about Cornelius. I told Duane I was going to tell stories about army, so here's your chance, all right? And I don't know if there's any other Army vets or I know there's some Air Force folks and whatnot too. Any Navy folks? We've got an MP over here, Denny is over here. So we've got some other folks who've served in the military. Cornelius was what? He was a leader of troops. So if you think of a cohort, all right? It said he was in the Italian cohort, right? If you were a Jew, you didn't want anything to do with somebody who was not Jewish, right? let alone somebody who was occupying your country. Cornelius was in the army of occupation of Judea, okay? If you think of a cohort is about 600 people. It'd be roughly equivalent for you military men and women to the size of a battalion, okay? Cornelius was in charge of a group of 100 people, right? You kids are smart. How many, well, you know, a penny, another name for a penny is a cent, isn't it? How many pennies in a dollar bill? There's 100, right? So that's where that word cent, centurion, right, comes from. Cornelius was in charge of 100 people. There weren't any women in the Italian army and in the Roman army back then, so he was in charge of 100 guys. So you would think about, really, in today's era, he would be like a company commander, right, or a company first sergeant, all kind of rolled into one. Cornelius was good in the military and understanding tactics. He was good at training his soldiers. He was responsible for feeding them. He was responsible for giving them orders to do this or do that, right? He was responsible for discipline, right, for the morale of his people. Yet here we have Cornelius, a leader of some Roman soldiers, who said in the Bible he prayed to God. Now, what God did he pray to? Did he pray to the Roman gods, Mars and Jupiter and all those? No. We infer from the story he was praying to the God of Abraham and Isaac, right? The same God that we pray to, right? In the Old Testament, they used to call it Yahweh, right? This God, this all-powerful being. He prayed not only himself, but his family, his slaves and servants and so on. And we know from the reading at least one other soldier in his group was a faithful person to pray to God. And he gave alms. He gave to the poor. So he was a faithful man. Had he not listened to this voice, this vision, this voice from God, had he not changed his paradigms, he might not have asked a Jewish person for advice. He might not have listened to a Jewish person, and that person was Peter. But what did Cornelius do? He got a couple of his servants, and he got a faithful soldier, and he said, okay, guys, you go over here, go see this guy who lives in this town, and bring me back this Simon Peter guy. And you bet, sir, we'll go take care of it. And off they went. So he had to change his thoughts, his paradigms, to now be able to listen and invite a Jewish person into his home, into his house. So who's the other guy who has to change his paradigms? That's Peter. Peter is a devout Jew, right? He's been a disciple. He's followed Jesus for 3 years, listening to him and listening to him preach and healing people and doing miracles and so on. He's witnessed now the death of Jesus, but the resurrection of Jesus. He knows Jesus and his story inside and out. And this is where he starts to transform from a disciple. A disciple is one who listens and learns, now to an apostle, someone who goes and tells. So Peter has this vision, which we talked about with the children's sermon, where he finally starts to understand that just like there's no clean or unclean animals, right? There's no clean or unclean people. So this is the very first time then in the book of Acts where we hear Peter, one of the apostles, now being willing to go not only into the home of a Gentile, but into the home of his enemy, right? Somebody who represented all the things that were evil in the world in that Roman army, that army of occupation, okay? So he went, and it's so cool, this whole story that was read, it's bookmarked, right? You have Peter and Cornelius, and in the middle it's this wonderful little short, concise story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you today, this afternoon, to read that section again, where Peter is able just to talk about, have a conversation with Cornelius and his family about how much Jesus loves them enough to die on a cross for them, for their salvation, okay? Well, what do you suppose happened? Some of the Jewish people that were with Peter, they were just so appalled. You're going into the home of a Gentile? You're going into the home of an enemy and preaching the gospel? What is wrong with you? Later on in part of Acts, you'll read where Peter has to justify his thought process, his change in paradigms of bringing Jesus to non-Jewish people. We talked a little bit about this story is one of the reasons I'm here today, and it's because in that early Christian church, there was a push by some people to say, well, if you wanted to be a Christian, you first had to convert to Judaism, and then you could be a Christian. And what's our favorite verse in the Bible? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth on him shall have everlasting life. It doesn't say, for God so loved the Jewish people, that anybody who converts to Judaism first, then can have Christ in their heart. It doesn't say that, okay? God so loved the world. And I think Peter started to understand that if he is called to bring that message of God to people outside of the Jewish faith. And the reason I say that I wouldn't be here had those two guys not changed their paradigms is that I have a hard enough time with Lutheranism sometimes, let alone trying to convert to Judaism. First, man, you have to speak Hebrew. And I tell you, it's all Greek to me, isn't it, Pastor? It's all Greek. Okay. Bottom line, it's because those two guys listened to God and were able to share that gospel. And what happened in the book of Acts? Immediately, right, within years, and even in that first century, Christianity spread through all Judea. And you can read about it in the book of Acts up in what is now present-day Turkey and Greece and Italy and so on, where all these disciples went out and the word of God, the word of Jesus Christ, spread to all the nations. Until today, we know that Jesus Christ is in every nation of the world. Now, granted, not every nation, not every person in the entire world follows Jesus, right? Not yet. We'll give it a couple weeks. That's God's plan, though, right? So what did these Jews see immediately when Cornelius and his crew, his family, started hearing the gospel? What did they do? They rejoiced and they praised and they spoke in tongues. As Lutherans, we don't talk too much about speaking in tongues, right? It's a gift of the Spirit. I don't think I have the gift of tongues. I've heard people talk about tongues, but, you know, I don't understand it. So let's put that in perspective of the French language. Anybody here speak French? A couple, maybe? Okay. But I know French is spoken by 1/6 of the entire population of the world. Just because I can't read it or speak it doesn't mean it's not real, doesn't mean it's not there. So we talk a little bit about the speaking in tongues. And it's the idea, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And especially in that day and age, if somebody started speaking in tongues, that was an outward, what's the word I'm looking for? Lack of tongues here, but it was an outward expression that somebody had the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, there's other ways, too, that you can tell if somebody has the Holy Spirit. But in that very instant, these Jewish people were so excited to hear, hey, these Gentiles are speaking in tongues, and gave that they understood the Holy Spirit. So what do we have? We have Cornelius, a faithful man who prays to the same God we do. He has now heard the Holy Spirit and listened and accepted, and now he's heard the story of Jesus. So he's got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Peter says, of course, I will baptize them then with water. I will baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you know, it could end there, but it didn't. You know what happened? Cornelius invited Peter to stay and teach and learn from him. And that's really how the gospel changes and how it changes lives. And what is our responsibility? Yeah, you know, we may know people who have tattoos and so on. We may know people of a different race or a different language and so on. But yet we are called to share that gospel with them. So I've talked about a lot of things. I would encourage you to read that gospel again sometime today. You get a chance this month, read through the book of Acts, and you'll see how that early church expanded into all the world. And with that, I'm going to simply say, amen.